And we have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm sorry about that. I didn't get ahead of myself there. But so the song that Victor just announced, we just sang, it's very encouraging. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And we know that he don't change. And we must hold on to God. When I usually write down little sayings, and I'll write them, put my notes, and then I'll go back and look at them. It might be a year or two or whatever. But there was one that I come across: when there is no struggle, there can be no progress. So we struggle. I've been watching preachers, YouTube, and just several gospel preachers sound, and some of them would just admit that there's things in life, and not only the preachers, but the members, that they struggle with. And we all gonna go through some struggles, and that's okay, but finish the race. We're in a race. And I'm watching football, because Dastin's playing football, and I see those guys, those football players, man, they trying to get that finish line, and they struggling. But they make it. And so we just need to be faithful until death. That's what Jesus tells us. And then we're going to receive that crown of life. But nothing wrong with struggling. Where there's no struggle, there'd be no progress. So I want to continue my thought. This is part three, and we're going to do this one, and then I'll get out of this lesson here and go to something else. From here to eternity is what we're going to look at. Now, my key verse is Isaiah 57 and 15. As we look at this here, and we know that we waste our time when we worship and serve idols. And it don't make any difference what that idol is, and whatever we put before God is an idol. But let's look at Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity. There's that word right there, which means unending time. We may not be able to comprehend that, but that's what it means, unending time. Eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. And you know, I'm a firm believer, when we have a humble spirit, we're going to study God's word. We'll spend some time in the word. Do you go all week without reading, picking up your Bible and not studying? That's not good. And I know nothing among you. I'm just saying. If I humble myself, I'm going to study his word. And then he says, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Revive means vigorous, lively, restored to life. Now you think about it here. God is in heaven looking down on us. And I thought about this too. He's the only one really can look down on anyone. He's the only one high enough to look down. We might take that one there as well. From here to eternity, and I'm going to move pretty fast this morning, and like I said, we'll go to something else. Thinking of eternity, man must realize he is made for it. Remember, we talked about that. He's made for eternity. God created man on earth out of clay, the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. Now his body's going back to the ground when he dies, but his soul goes to God eventually, and and his spirit goes back to God in heaven. That's where we're trying to make it. That's where we're trying to go, to heaven. We're just pilgrims passing through this land. We're not going to be here just a few days compared to eternity. And so we gave those scriptures, not going to go back over those. Faith sees eternal things. See, faith sees eternal things. We talked about those scriptures as well. Life is seed time for eternity. And we know that, we'll reap exactly what we sow. We faithful to God until the end. You know, we're going to make it to heaven. We're going to be with him for all eternity. We already talked about those scriptures. And then we want to look at, time is the preparation for it. Right now, while we are alive. Time is the preparation for it. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, where Paul was writing to those brethren over at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse, we'll probably end up reading 1 and 2. But time is the preparation for it. Because right now we're alive, and I tell people, it don't matter what kind of situation you get yourself into, if you're still alive, you can change. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, Paul says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." God's grace, his unmerited favor, you know, don't receive it in vain. And it applies to those also who are Christians and then go back to the world and leave God and then receive the grace of God. And he teaches us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And then there's Christians who just quit. They just quit. And they think, evidently they must think, that they're going to make it in and God's going to have mercy. Now, right now, he's our Savior, but one day, and we'll look at this, he's going to be our judge, and we won't be able to change anything. And so he says there in verse 2, for he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." See, accepted time is now, because we're in the Christian age and there's not going to be another age. You know, we had the patriarchal dispensation when God spoke to the head of the family, the fathers. Patriarchal. Then we had the Mosaical dispensation when God gave the law to Moses, he gave it to Israel. And today we are under the Christian dispensation, and there's not going to be another. So right now is the time, and you out there and you listening, today is the day of salvation, and we're going to be looking at some things tomorrow. This is not promised to me either. Proverbs 27 and 1, let's look at this one. I use the scriptures. There's a lot of preachers. I listen to some of them on YouTube and some of the other. I call them liberal preachers. Boy, they get up there and they talk for 45 minutes and don't even use the scripture. I use the scripture. All right. Now, Proverbs 27 and verse 1. "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." There you have it. Now, I was telling Phyllis here yesterday, I'm planning on trying to clean up my van Monday. I need to wash it and clean it on the inside and out. I was going to get a gentleman gave me an estimate, and he was going to do it for me. Gave me the wrong number. He didn't give me the right number, and so I'm not going to deal with that. So I'm just going to do it myself. The Lord's with it. Let me say that right. And so we don't know. We just don't know. And so we have to, time is the preparation for it, to get ready for eternity, because I can't change when I die. And then 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, And we're familiar with 2 Peter. Brother Victor did a fine job in those Christian virtues, anti-faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Then let's look at this here. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, we better look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. And some of those Christian virtues, don't stop working on those. Don't ever stop. What you take for this is virtue. I'm going back a little bit here in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You know what that means? That means courage. That means courage to stand and to do what is right. Courage. You may be the only one in the job that have to take a stand. There may be people in there who saying, I don't believe in God. Well, we just have to, and they may ask me, do you believe in him? I wish he would ask me that. I said, yes, I believe in God. And all you have to do is look at creation. One guy was doing personal work, knocking on the door, and he came to the door and he told me he is a devout atheist. I'm devout. That's what he told me. Well, we'll try to our best to explain to people that there is a God and he created you. And he created you to be intelligent, and he created you in his own image. You got a mind and you can see. And you can understand there's a God. There is a God. And so we find here, virtue and then all of these good, scriptures he gives us to knowledge. Let me read all of this. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, got to work hard on it. You may struggle with some of these, but that's okay. Keep on struggling. We'll eventually get them. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That means courage. To virtue, knowledge. Got to have some good God's knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. Perseverance is maybe patience. It's hanging in there. You got to hang in there. Okay, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. And we got to love those who don't love us. That's a struggle sometimes. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. That's that word Brother Victor brought out this morning. He's short-sighted. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He forgot that he was baptized. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, you will never stumble. And I looked up stumble. It says to trip up. If you do these things, you won't trip up. But we have to, when we open our eyes every morning, we got to think about this. You got to think about those Christian graces. Somebody gonna put you to the test. Somebody pull out in front of your vehicle and then look at you as if you were wrong and I'm in my lane. They looking at me and they, yeah. I said, man, I was looking at him. I said, man, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm in my lane. One lady, I ain't gonna keep you too long. One lady, I had my trailer out. That's back at several years ago, and she said, get that thing out of the way. Just as loud as she could, had a window down. Get it out of the way. I'm having a right to be out here with my trailer. Now, if I don't add these Christian graces in my life, I'm coming back at her. But I didn't do that. I just looked at her. And somebody, one guy at work told me, said, look at people and just smile. You may be right about that. And then some people, I guess you better not even look at them because they want you to look at them. Eye contact, because they want action. They done had something went on in their life, and they just looking for somebody. And just be wise. Just be wise here with judgment. He is the gate of it. There's going to be a judgment day. And there are men who teach us that there's not going to be more. I heard back several years ago, some of them was teaching there was not going to be a judgment day, and brother, some of the preachers didn't want to debate that, man. That's when they did a lot of debating. Brother Nash took it. And boy, he told him up. Because I wouldn't have a nerve to tell somebody there's not going to be a judgment day when the Bible is full of it. But these preachers, some of them, boy, they just ain't thinking. Hebrews 9:27-28. Hebrews chapter 9, 27 and 28, where the Hebrew writer tells us, 9:27-28, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. He's coming back, not on this earth, but he's coming back to meet us in the air. And the people who haven't got it right, they're going to be too late. The judgment is the gate of it. Matthew 25 and verse 46. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. And I think that has reference to where there were those who were hungry, and there were saints who didn't feed them and didn't clothe them and didn't visit them. They was in prison. And let's just see here. Matthew 25 and verse 46, where Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. You did what you were supposed to do. And I hope I'm right on that. Because let me make sure. Yeah. Let's see here. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison. You visited me. Talking about the people that listened to him. And then there were those who didn't do that. And they trying to make excuses. Said, we never saw you, Jesus, in prison. We never saw you hungry. We never saw you needed clothes. You know, but Jesus said, when you don't take care of my servants, it's like you not taking care of me. He said, we got to take care of one another. We got to help one another. And those who did not do that and had the opportunity, look at verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's what we looking at, that word eternal life right there. The judgment is the gate of it. 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Let's look at this one here. 2 Corinthians 5:1. And then we'll drop down to verse 10. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Tent represent the physical body. And it's not going to, it decays. You live long enough, I've seen it popped up on my phone where man was, I think, 100 years old. He was really blessed. Whether or not he was a Christian, and I didn't tell, it didn't tell us that. But our physical body decays. It's going to decay. And then drop down to verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And I think that has reference to the way how we die is where we're going to spend eternity, because anything that we've done, if we've done repentant of it, you know, God's not going to hold that against us. But the way we, when we die, okay, the judgment is the gate of it. Let's move on. No redemption in eternity. I'm going to put something on this man. This cardboard, you let it fall down. But anyway, we just shorten it off and just get it up with. All right. No redemption in eternity right here. Luke 16:26. The other ones, you can get ahead of me on those scriptures there. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 26, it deals with the rich man and Lazarus. I'm not going to read all those, and you know the story. The rich man had everything. He was rich. And nothing wrong with him being rich. And of course, the beggar didn't have any much at all. And the beggar just wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Luke 16:26. That's all he wanted. And the rich man wouldn't let him have the crumbs. The Bible tells us that the rich man went to a place called torments. And the old King James would say hell. And Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, which is a place of comfort. Now Luke 16:26, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. You can't cross over. No redemption in eternity. There's no way to be saved. You cannot change. You're there. And then Matthew 7 and verse 21, I think we know what that one is there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? And then Jesus will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I gave you my word, but you changed it around, you messed with it, and no, you can't make it in. That's going to be sad. In Acts 17:30-31, there was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world. There was a time there in Acts 17:30 that he winked at ignorance. He overlooked it because the complete word of God, the Bible, the New Testament, had the Gentiles had not received the word. Now in the New Testament day, everybody has received the word. There's no excuse for people not knowing. And then decisions cannot be invaded. The last one there. Decision cannot be invaded. I did look up the word invaded. It means escape or avoid, especially by cleverness or trickery. You know, there's a lot of people, and I've come across a lot of several people, and they just smooth talkers, able to get into a bunch of stuff, and then they know how to wiggle out of it. I'm going to tell this, and then we won't keep you too long. Guy that I used to work with, he went to Louisville. he was a salesman, went to Louisville, and he was having trouble with his high blood pressure. And he was weaving on the road. He's always been a good smooth talker. And the police stopped him, said, "You're weaving all over the road." He said, "I know." He said, "I'm not feeling well. I'm just trying to make it to my room. You know, I appreciate if you let me go. Just let me make it to my room." Well, he got down the road about 10 miles, another one pulled him over. Said, "Sir, you all over the road." He said, "Yes, sir, I am." And some kind of way he talked him out of it. And then he got to his room and had a stroke. And he was waiting on called his wife. He lived in Bowling Green, called his wife in Bowling Green, waiting on her to come and help him when he should have called the 911, the ambulance. And he might have saved him. He didn't die, but he put him in the nursing home. It paralyzed him. It paralyzed him. Decisions cannot be invaded, and then with God, you won't be with nobody being talked the way out of this deal. Remember Joshua 24 and verse 15. Remember he said, "For me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord." Now, if you want to serve evil and disobey God, you go ahead. He's telling those other ones, the Israelites and Israelites, I believe. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he didn't make nobody. They wanted to obey God. Let's look at Matthew 12 and 30. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. I think that has something to do with either we're for God or we're against Him. I think that's what that's talking about over there. But let's just go over and see. Because preachers can be wrong. We can make mistakes. Matthew 12 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Look what Jesus says here. "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." There's no middle ground. I got to be with him all the way. You know, can't straddle the fence. Romans 6 and verse 16, the next scripture. See how fast we're moving here? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and look at verse 16 with me. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness?" Now, either I'm a slave of God for Christ, or I am a slave of the devil. I can't straddle the fence. If one loves God, we will gain eternal life because we're going to obey Him. And as we wrap this up, time will end. Where will you live in eternity? Because we're going to live somewhere. That's kind of, you think about that, about people who won't listen. And all we can do is just tell them what the Bible says, and nothing else we can do about that. In Mark 8 and 36, Mark chapter 8, and let's look at 36, and we're going to extend the invitation. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, and people that we have gone on and didn't obey, I got family members have gone on, didn't obey. There's nothing I can do about that. I don't dwell on that. Mark 8, 36, because there's nothing I can do about it. All I focus on is the good memories we had when we was on this earth. Some things, there's things that's God's business, and I just need to leave that alone. And I can feel okay about my life, and we had good memories, and think along that line. Other than that, there's nothing I can do about it. Okay, now I will say this. People who are alive, let's try our best if we can to try to persuade them. Do what we can to persuade them. And I tell people, We all going to make mistakes, but that's why God has given, shed his blood to cleanse us. And if you're not a Christian and haven't been baptized and you have not come in contact with the blood of Christ, you just don't have a chance. But as long as you're alive, you do have a chance. But when one dies, they have no chance. All right. Let's look at this here. Mark 8:36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What about if I start playing a lottery? I did slip around somewhere down in Tennessee and start playing that lottery. And all at once I hit it, boom! and that happened to a preacher's wife. He was preaching against the lottery, and his wife won it. And he said, oh, it just finished from heaven. He changed his sermon. He sure did. He got on with her. Isn't that something? And see, that's what happens when we don't do right. I'm out there going to Tennessee, playing the lottery, and boom! And then they got me on the news that I done won it. Oh my goodness. Now I'm gonna have to not take that and just go ahead and tell those people. Or I'm gonna say pennies from heaven like the other man. See how we can put ourselves in the temptation that we don't need to do that. And just as sure as I'm born, if I play, I might win it. Oh boy. And who do I love, the money, or do I love God? What does it profit? Let's look at this again. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? See, man can lose his soul over money. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He'll give a whole lot when he's done lost it, but he can't change. See, we can't change it. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his angels. Let's not be ashamed of Christ. You know, let's be all for him. Be humble. And so we talked about from here to eternity. Thinking of eternity, man must realize he is made for it. Faith sees eternal things. Life is seed time for eternity. Time is the preparation for it. The judgment is the gate of it. No redemption in eternity can change. Decisions cannot be invaded. It's some smooth talkers, some silver tongues, but they won't outsmooth God. They can't do that. I'm telling you right now, that's what doing right while you're here. Time will end. Where will you live in eternity? That's all I have for that one. Lord's willing, we'll look at something else the next time around. If the Lord's willing, there may be someone out there who's not a Christian. You've heard the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul tells us, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Got to hear the gospel, got to believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, Jesus tells us that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Got to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I'll tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You got to repent. Everybody has to repent. Must confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32. Jesus tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you. And then the Bible talks about there, and you don't confess him before men, and one day you will be made to do that. Because the Bible tells us every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will have to do that. Why don't you do it while you have that opportunity? You can give me a call anytime. 270-282-3706. We're begging you to study with us. We want to help you. we're not here to do you no wrong. And one must be baptized in the church that's in the Bible. Romans 16 and 16, the Bible tells us the churches of Christ salute you. Got to be baptized right. Oh boy, another lesson coming, but. And when you're baptized right, you'll be in the church that's in the Bible. Acts 2:38, Jews on Pentecost, after they had crucified Christ, they wanted to know what they must do. Peter told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. They had help. They baptized those people. They didn't tell them to come back next month and we'll baptize you. No, they did it that day. And if you are a Christian and you done gave up on the struggle, and you done quit the church, and there's some out there that I know have done quit, because when we did our door knocking, I've come across some people and they told me, oh yeah, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, but I quit. You don't want it, you better come back. I don't know how to, I'm trying to be as humble as I can. If you don't come back, and Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So come back. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, please come while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you so much.